Jeremiah 23 and verse number 19. Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord is gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he hath executed, he hath performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days he shall consider it perfectly. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. By the way, there's a bunch of preachers like that out there right now. They're filling pulpits all over this community. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I feel heaven and earth, saith the Lord? I have heard what the prophet said that prophesied lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat? Saith the Lord, is not my word like as a fire? Saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rocks in pieces. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to do what we ought to do. And the exaltation of the preaching of the Word of God, Lord, help us to magnify it in the minds and hearts of God's people. Forgive us for sometimes becoming accustomed to it, for not taking it seriously, for not putting the proper value on the preaching services here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Forgive us for getting a little comfortable and used to everything. God, I pray that you'd help us to hit some reset buttons in our life. Help our relationship to preaching to once again be everything that it ought to be, that you would have it to be. Lord, the Bible tells us that to the world the preaching of the cross is foolishness, but to us that are saved it is the power of God. So I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to see it in that light. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And you may be seated. I'm going to preach a message that I did a quick count and I may have missed a time or two, but I went back through my preaching record and I've preached this message 23 times in the last, 15 years. 23 times in the last 15 years. Man, I don't even need notes, Brother Greg. I'd be able to just do this one. I've preached it in 20 different venues. Preached it only twice at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, once in a regular service, probably 10, 12 years ago, and once in chapel, maybe last year in chapel. I preached it in teen camps, I preached it at teen conferences, I preached it good night. I can't tell you where I preached it. Some of our kids here have heard it. My daughters have heard it 22 of the 23 times, and actually my daughters could preach this message, and I think I might have one of them do that, you know. But it's that important. If I'm invited somewhere to preach and they only give me one shot, more times than not, I'll go to this message and pray over it first. A lot of times the Lord says, no, that's not the one, but this is the one I'll go to first. I like it because of the fact that let me give you this. Have you ever heard this old proverb that says, not a Bible proverb, but a saying that says, if you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. If you teach a man to fish, you feed him for a lifetime. If I could go somewhere and preach and I can give someone a sermon, or I could go somewhere and preach and teach someone how to listen to a sermon and the purpose of a sermon and help them to get truth for a lifetime, not just for an evening. I want to talk to you about this. I loved our preaching conference. Said, Brother Jerry, were you blessed? Oh my goodness. Did you get something out of every message? Lots of stuff out of every message. You mean all of the different speakers connected? Yep. Your heart was moved every time? Yep. And let me just go on to say this. I can't tell you. I cannot remember the last time I sat in a preaching service where I did not absolutely receive something supernatural from God. But can I say this? It's not because I handpick opportunities to go and hear only certain men that I know I'm going to connect with. Because it doesn't have anything to do with the man that's preaching. It has to do with what he's preaching. And it has to do with the condition of my heart as I go to hear it. Listen very carefully to what I'm going to tell you tonight. Because we see in this verse that we read, and we're going to take a round trip through Jeremiah for a few minutes and come back to it. But we see in this portion of Scripture, in verse number 29, the Word of God described by two different phrases. We see that the Bible is referred to, or the Word of God is referred to as, first of all, a fire, and secondly, a hammer. Now, there's plenty of places in the Bible where the Bible talks about itself and speaks about itself, compares itself to some tangible object so that we can learn something about the Bible from the Bible. For instance, in Psalm 119, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Here God compares the Bible to a light or a lantern or a flashlight, if you will. And when you're on life's path and you don't know which way to go and you're afraid to drift off, if you turn on the light, you can see where the path is. And it makes perfect sense to us. We see in Hebrews chapter 4 where the Bible is referred to as a sword. And we certainly, I think, have all experienced the surgical power of the Word of God as it pierces and divides as it's preached. I could take you to places in the Bible where the Bible is referred to as milk and as it's referred to as bread and it's referred to as meat. And certainly, the Bible provides for each and every one of us nutrition for the baby Christian, the milk, sincere milk of the world. Word as we grow up, bread and milk, and at some point we ought to be ready for some strong meat. But even those of us that like the strong meat, and I do, boy, we had some this afternoon. We had some good steak this afternoon, but you know what? I like steak, but I also like a good old cold, tall glass of milk every once in a while. It's all good. That's how the Bible is. But here is the only place that I found in my study where the Bible compares itself to two tangible objects in the same verse and seemingly unrelated, unconnected. Bible mentions, God mentions that His Word is a fire and then takes a breath and mentions it's a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. And I remember when I was studying and doing a personal Bible study through the Bible of what God compared His Word to, when I got to this verse, I was perplexed. And I really began to ask myself, why did God say at this point in time to Jeremiah that His Word was a fire, His Word was a hammer? Why did He use this terminology? Why was this important? And why is God saying this to Jeremiah? Well, let's find out real quick. Do you like to study the Bible a little? Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. Let me lay the groundwork here. I'll show you what happened in Jeremiah's life that brought him to the point where God had to set him down and give him a lesson about the Bible and about the preaching of God's Word. Because these verses are not just talking about the Word of God. It's talking about the preaching of the Word of God, and we'll see that. In Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse number 4, we see the call of Jeremiah. I won't linger long on this. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth His hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down and to build and to plant. Here we see the call of Jeremiah. Let me just real quickly explain to you what the call is. Say, Brother Jerry, do you believe in the call? I absolutely 100% believe it's biblical that men are called into the gospel ministry. But let me explain what that is. I hope you don't take this, and I hope it doesn't sound prideful, because trust me, it's not. But I believe this with all of my heart. The call of God, when God called me as a 17-year-old boy into the gospel ministry, God came and tapped me on the shoulder and called me into the ministry. All he did that day was come to me when I was ready to hear it and tell me the reason I was created. I'm going to say this. I wasn't just called to preach. I was created to preach. That's what he said to Jeremiah. He said, you know what, Jeremiah? I made you a prophet from your mother's womb. I formed you to be what you are from your mother's womb. See, the call of God is not a day where God looks down, notices somebody, and says, wow, you know what? They might make a good preacher. I think I'll go call them to the ministry. It's the day that God comes to a man and said, let me tell you why I gave you a spark of life. Let me tell you why I placed you in your mother's womb. Let me tell you why I created you. I created you to be a mouthpiece for me. I created you to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I created you to be a prophet, a preacher. And gentlemen, let me just say this. Not everybody is called because into the ministry because not everybody's created to be a preacher. But if you are, and God comes and tells you, and you try to do anything else with your life, you're going to be the most miserable human being on the face of this earth. Amen. Here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, we don't try to call young men into the ministry. I don't have to call young men into the ministry. I don't want pastor called preacher boys. But I do want every young man in here to listen to the Holy Spirit of God, because God may have just created you to be a preacher. And at some point, He'll come and let you know if that's true. Amen? And so we see Jeremiah's call. And I think about Jeremiah in his youth. And by the way, with the calling, there was some trepidation. And I think everybody that's called understands that. There's some excuse making. There's some, I don't think I can do this. But with the call comes an anointing. God reached down and touched the lips of Jeremiah. You know what? He told Jeremiah, listen, you don't have to do this in your own strength. I created you to do it, and I'll empower you to do it, and I'll anoint you to do it, and I'll take my words and put them in your mouth. And you know what? You hang with me, you'll be just fine. Can I say this? For now, these many, many years, I've hung with the Lord, and I've been just fine. Amen. I've got to preach. You know why? Because I'm created to preach. Now we see the call of Jeremiah. Now let's go to Jeremiah chapter 5. Remember, we're laying the groundwork to show you why God has to have a conversation with Jeremiah and tell him a little bit about preaching. Jeremiah chapter 5, let me quickly read the first three verses. Run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem and see you, see now and know and seek in the broad places thereof. If you can find a man, if there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth, then I will pardon it. And though they say the Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely. Now look at verse 3. O Lord, thou art not thine eyes upon the truth. Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. We saw the call of Jeremiah. Now we see the congregation of Jeremiah. I see this young preacher boy, man, he's been called to the ministry. He's excited. Man, you know what? He studies and he gets him a couple sermons. And he's thinking, you know what? Jerusalem and Israel has just been waiting for the day for me to arrive. I mean, all these people that aren't saved, the only reason they're not saved, they haven't had somebody like me to tell them how to be saved. All these Christians that are backslidden, man, all they need is somebody to get up and explain to them what God wants. And man, I'm the man, and I've got 7 sermons now, and I'm ready to go turn this world upside down for Jesus. So he went out there with all the zeal of a freshly called preacher, the anointing of God, preached his heart out, convinced of the truth that God gave him, know that it was from God, and you know what he found out? Next thing you know, he found out that God had called him to be a prophet in Israel during a time where very few of God's chosen people cared less about what God had to say. You see, they had other preachers, ear-tickling preachers. They had false prophets that were giving them good news and telling them what they wanted to hear. And here comes Jeremiah saying, you know what, guess what? Nebuchadnezzar's coming, is going to tear everybody off into captivity. Jerusalem's going to fall. You won't find one stone on top of another. That's not what they wanted to hear. They wanted to hear glad tidings of good things. They wanted to hear about prosperity preaching. They wanted to hear about what a good people they were. How right they were, even though they were rotten to the core. Jeremiah comes along and preaches what God told him to preach, and guess what? He said, run to and fro. Look through the streets. Can you find anybody? He's saying that, you know what, God, you called me to preach, but nobody wants to hear. And notice this phrase. We're going to reference it in a minute. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. Remember what Jesus, What God told Jeremiah in chapter number 1 when he called him to preach, he said, be not afraid of their... And here he tells them, Jeremiah gets out there and finds out why God told him that. They made their faces hard as a rock. So here we see the call of Jeremiah, the congregation of Jeremiah. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter number 20. Stay with me. Let's get the biblical groundwork so we can properly interpret the Scripture. Jeremiah chapter 20, look, if you will, in verse number 7. The call of Jeremiah, the congregation of Jeremiah, the confusion of Jeremiah. O Lord, Thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me, for since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made reproach unto me, and a derision daily. Notice this. Then said I, will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. Let's stop right there, and we'll finish this verse in a second. But can I tell you what's happening? Jeremiah's coming to God, and he's complaining to the Lord, and he's turning in his letter of resignation. Man, when I was young, you came to me, and you called me into the ministry, and you told me I was going to be a prophet to the nations, and I got the Word of God, and I got the anointing, and I preached, and it seemed like everywhere I went, nobody cared, and I kept going anyway, and I thought somewhere there's going to be a remnant, somewhere there's going to be somebody that gets saved, some group of people that takes it seriously, somewhere we're going to see the folks turn. But you know what he found out? At this time in Israel's history, nobody much cared. Can I say this? I want to say this. Thank you for being a people that still want to hear the Word of God. We're in a minority. America's going to be Israel in a few years. America's fast approaching being Israel. I'm not sure, you young men that are called to ministry, I'm not sure in 30, 40 years you'll find anybody that really wants to hear the truth. I mean that. We're heading that way. And thank God that even though it's diminishing the hunger for the Word of God, there's still some folks out there that want to say, preacher, say thus saith the Lord. You tell us what God says. You open the Bible and preach it straight. We want to hear it. We want to hear it. Thank God for that. But poor Jeremiah, he didn't have that. You know what? After, listen, folks, you go do that. And you know what we're finding out? We're sending preachers into parts of America. We're sending preachers into counties. We're sending preachers into cities that have just about in total turned their back on God. You don't talk to the preachers I talk to. There's a lot of them out there that's gone, and they've worked just as hard as we worked here, and they preach just as hard as we preached here. But you know what? I believe, and the Bible supports this, Jesus told His disciples, you'll go to certain cities, and you know what? You won't find anybody there that wants to hear. He says, take your shoes, knock the dust off of them, and move on. I sent you there as a witness against them, so that when they come and stand before the judgment seat, they'll not be able to say, you never sent a prophet. But God knew in advance nobody was going to listen. He sent the preacher to hold them accountable. That's why, Brother Cross, we've got to be careful about determining a man's success based on the number of people he reached. There's good men right now laboring in Satan's strongholds and are there just to lift a voice of witness against them. I'm convinced of that. But we're closing down this country, a city at a time, a county at a time, a section at a time. Pretty soon there's going to be nowhere where there's a gospel preacher welcome in the United States of America. And at that point, God's going to say, blow the trumpet, let's get what's left out of there, and let's go in the tribulation period. His call, His congregation, His confusion. He said, man, I thought I was going to be a prophet. I went out there and everybody's faces are hard as rock. He told me not to be afraid of them, and I haven't. I preached anyway, but Lord, come on! Nobody? Nothing? Nobody wants to hear? And then he says, I'm quitting. I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. But notice this. Well, this is important. All this is building up. See, all of this helped us to interpret this verse later on. But His Word was in my heart as a burning what? Burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. You know what? Maybe we had a bunch of hard-hearted, rock-hard-faced, rock-hard people out there. But Jeremiah wasn't one of them. When he heard the Word of God, something started burning in his heart. When he heard the Word of God, something began to change inside of him. He was still tender to what God was trying to deliver to him day in and day out. Whatever message God brought, Jeremiah allowed it to be a fire in his life. But not everybody in this day and age did that. Now, we get to Jeremiah chapter 23. We saw Jeremiah called. We saw the people that he was sent to, his congregation. We saw his confusion. And then God sits him down. By the way, when we read these verses, this is the voice of the Lord. This is God talking to Jeremiah, telling Jeremiah, instructing Jeremiah. We see God Almighty's instruction here in Jeremiah chapter 23. Look at verse 25. You know what God told Jeremiah? He said this, "I have heard what the prophets said, that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. You know what? Every false prophet that got up somewhere in front of a bunch of people and told a lie this morning and said, thus saith the Lord, when the Lord didn't say it, God heard it. He said, I hear him. Sometimes we think, well, God, you don't know what's going on. I know what's going on, he says. He knows there's more fakes than there are prophets. He knows there's more charlatans than there are prophets. He knows the condition we're in. Yep, he does. He said, I heard him. Verse 26, how long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. And he was just setting him down. He said, listen, Jeremiah, you think that I don't understand what's going on, but I know exactly what's going on. And that makes it that much more important that you obey me and do what I'm telling you to do, because you're one of the last ones. Brother Jerry, why is it so important that we keep this pulpit right? Folks, I'm not trying to over-inflate the importance of Blessed Hope Baptist Church or of this ministry or this pulpit, but I will tell you this. This is a dying... Listen, churches like this are a dying breed. Brother Yoder said something after you preached Wednesday night to me out there in the front step. He said, I learned something about your church tonight and about your dad, but about your church. I said, really? He said, yes. He said, I learned that your church is the type of church that can take that kind of preaching. He said, you know how few places a preacher could get up and preach that type of a message in this day and age and ever be invited back, yea, ever be welcome again in the building? Folks, we have these little carnal gatherings of congregations that want to get a preacher in and tie a string to both hands and a string to the head and a string to the feet and pull the strings and make him dance to whatever tune they want to play and say whatever they want him to say, and they will have that kind of preacher or they'll get rid of him. And that's not a few churches. That's a lot of churches. That's most of the church. That's a lot of Baptist churches. That's getting to be more and more independent fundamental Baptist churches. And we're heading down that road. And God said this. He said, I hear him. Now notice what he says in verse 28. He says, the prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. You know what he was saying? You're not one of them. I gave you a dream. Tell it. You know what he was saying here? So what, Jeremiah? Stop whining. Okay, there's a bunch of false prophets. Okay, you're in the minority. Okay, you may be one of the last. Okay, for every one of you, there's 1,000 telling lies. So what? I did give you a dream. Now tell it. He said this, and he said, and he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. He said, I gave you my word. Shut up and just preach. And do it faithfully. Because you know what, folks? When it comes down to it, we're not going to be judged on our results anyway. We're going to be judged on our faithfulness to Almighty God. Did we do, did we say what God wanted us to do and say? And God's not going to look and say, well, how many people respond? He's going to say, did you do what I said? Did you preach what I told you to preach? Were you true to this book? And he was telling Jeremiah, listen, I sent you to be a prophet. Guess what? It's a tough time in Israel. So what? Just shut up, stop whining, take the word that I've given you, get out there and let her rip, buddy. Then he asked this question, which I like. This will help every preacher in the world. What is the chaff of the wheat? Now, where did that come from all of a sudden? What's the chaff of the wheat? You know what God was saying? You're so worried about... You know, folks, listen. When they harvested the wheat, they laid out... Let me turn my mic on here. Testing. 1, 2, 3. Testing. Is it on? No. All right, it's on now. Is it on now? It was Klein's kid, wouldn't you know? The assistant PA kid. You were right. Thank you, buddy. So, you know what he was saying? They used to harvest the wheat and they'd take it. And they would have to... Listen, are you listening? They would have to get the chaff, which is the hard, useless shell that surrounds the wheat and keeps it from being worth anything. And they had to beat on that wheat until they broke the chaff. And you know what would happen to the chaff? The chaff would blow away and the wheat would stay. And you know what he was saying to Jeremiah? You're worrying too much about the chaff. See, what's the chaff to the wheat? You know what he's saying? He said, you're whining about the ones that are blowing away. You're whining about the ones that are leaving. You're whining about the ones that don't want to hear. He said, the chaff! That doesn't mean there's not wheat. Preach anyway. I think every preacher probably in their office ought to have a sign that just says, beat the wheat. You know what our job is? Just get up there and preach it. You know what? I hope you'll stay. And I hope that you want to hear it. And I hope you have a heart for it. But if tomorrow you send a mean letter to me and you go down and join some ecumenical, contemporary rock and roll church, you know what? Bye, chaff. I'm not trying to be hard, mean, or ugly. I'm just saying, I'm here to preach the Bible. And the preaching of God's Word attracts God's people. And the preaching of God's Word scares away a lot of chaff. And the Word of God is always going to divide. It always is. You preach the Bible, there's going to be some people that want it and some people that don't want it. There's going to be some people that stay and some people that hit that door. And they're going to go find somebody that will tickle their ears. Tell them what they want to hear. And you know what, folks, can I say this? What God was telling us as preachers is, you know what, you spend too much time worrying about that and not enough time just focusing in on what I've called you to do. Now, under the basis of all of that, we're going to get to the sermon. I promise you, the sermon's shorter than the introduction. But we have the call of Jeremiah, we have the congregation of Jeremiah, we have the confusion of Jeremiah. And I've seen almost every young preacher I've ever met go through this process. Where they're called, they go out expecting something, and you know what? They hit a brick wall, and you know what? They're confused, and they're tempted to quit, and God has to set them down at some point and say, son, welcome to the real world. We're not living in the days of Finney. We're not living in the days of Billy Sunday. I'm sorry. I wish we had citywide revivals where taverns were shutting down and people were getting saved. But you know what? We're in the last day. I'm sorry, folks. It's the time's ticking. And a lot of preachers are being called into hard areas. And I'm not saying God can't bust open every once in a while. We see it every once in a while, but God just busts open an area and we see genuine touch of revival. And I mean, unbelievable. But I'm going to tell you something. That's not the norm. If it was the norm, we'd be having a revival all the way across America. And there's still faithful men out there doing it. There's still faithful men preaching. Now, he gets into this verse here. After he talks about the chaff, what's the chaff of the wheat? It is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh a rock in pieces. And I want you to listen to me because I'm going to talk to you tonight about the importance of preaching. In Proverbs chapter number, listen very carefully. Proverbs chapter number 20, verse 27. There's a wonderful verse you need to understand. Proverbs 20:27, God says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. The spirit of man. Now, those of you that are saved, you are a triune being. Once again, thank God because of your reborn spirit. Man was created body, soul, and spirit. God said, if you eat of the fruit of that tree, you'll surely die. And they didn't die physically, and their soul didn't die because the soul can't die. A soul lives forever. But they died, their spirit died. So that's where we get John chapter 3 about being born again. That which is born of the spirit, capital S, is spirit, small spirit. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes in and regenerates, revives, brings back to life the spirit that died because of sin. That spirit that is born is the part of you, reborn is the part of you, and the only part of you that can communicate with God. I won't go into this, but it's, you'll have to trust me, it's true. Your flesh doesn't communicate with God, and your soul doesn't communicate with God. Only your spirit can communicate with God. He that worships God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. That's the part of you that can communicate with God. Now listen very carefully to what I'm going to say. The Bible says that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. When you're reborn, your spirit is supposed to become the candle of the Lord. Now this verse is telling us, is not my word like as a fire? Let me tell you what is supposed to happen, what should have happened in Jeremiah's day if the people would have had a candle and allowed their spirit to be a candle of the Lord. The word of God is a fire, by the way. It's fallen tonight. The Word of God is being preached tonight. I didn't just get up here and ignore the Scripture. We've plotted through the Scripture. We've given proper scriptural interpretation. We've laid the groundwork. The Bible's being preached. The Word of God is being preached tonight. And it's supposed to be, amongst God's people, a fire. So every time a preacher preaches, this is what's supposed to happen. And it's supposed to touch the spirit, the reborn part of you. And the Word of God being preached is supposed to light something in you. And that's supposed to happen each and every time the Word of God is preached. That should have happened to you this morning during the morning preaching service. That should have happened to you in Sunday school class, young people, while you were sitting in your Sunday school class. The spirit, your reborn spirit, if you're saved, when the Bible is being preached, there ought to have been something start burning inside of you when the teacher opened the Word of God and started teaching. Say, Brother Jerry, you heard Brother Yoder 3 times. Yep, and I got lit up 3 times. Well, you heard Brother Albert 2 times, and I got lit up 2 times. You heard Brother Mattingly 2 times. Yeah, and I got lit up about 7 times because he had a bunch of different sermons in all them sermons, you know. And then the last speaker of the week brought a flamethrower. I mean, Pastor Ross, this isn't a Pastor Ross sermon. I couldn't demonstrate what a Pastor Ross sermon is because half the people would be dead in this room if I... He brought a flamethrower in here. And you know what was supposed to happen every time? You know what's supposed to happen next Wednesday night? Fire's supposed to fall. God's people's supposed to get on fire. That's what's supposed to happen. He's bringing the Word of God. Fire's supposed to fall. If you bring a candle and you get it near Bible preaching, there's going to be some ignition. There's going to be some flames. There's going to be some heat. There's going to be some burning. But you got to bring a candle. You see, Jeremiah had a candle in his spirit. When God's Word came in him, it lit him up so much that even when he wanted to quit, he couldn't quit because of the fire that was burning inside of him. You know why? It was the Word of God that was creating that fire. So what's happening in the churches of Jesus Christ? Why are God called preachers going to people that claim to be saved and preaching the Word of God? And you know what? The invitation, nobody moves and nobody gives a holy grunt and people are staring off into space and humming and sighing, and there's no change and no touch of revival and no the transformation and no change of lifestyle. What's going on? I'll tell you what's going on. Same thing going on with Brother Jeremiah. God's people wasn't bringing a candle. They didn't let their spirit be the candle of the Lord. Now, this is what Jeremiah was saying. What God was saying to Jeremiah, saying, you know what I told you to do? I told you to preach. Some people, every once in a while, you're going to find some people that bring a candle and you're going to see some ignition. But a lot of the time, Jeremiah, you're going to preach. You're going to preach. And you're going to preach. And you're going to preach. And that's way too many of the members in our independent fundamental Baptist churches. It's way too many. Way too many people here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Way too many people here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. When's the last time God took a sermon that was preached in this pulpit and absolutely lit you up?
I mean, you were glowing when you left here. You were burning when you left here. You couldn't wait to go out and do what God told you to do and reach somebody for Christ. I mean, when you showed up Monday, the glow was still there. The fire was still burning. Well, how many sermons have you heard this month? How many sermons have you heard since the beginning of the year? This is what's happening in churches all over America. Well, I'll tell you what. We're just not getting fed. What we need to do is just get a different preacher. No, you need to get a different heart. The preacher that's in there is preaching the Bible. Then you're supposed to ignite. If he's not preaching the Bible, then get rid of him and get a preacher that's preaching the Bible. But if he's preaching the Bible, something's supposed to happen. And what God is saying is, listen, Jeremiah, I want my word to be a fire. I want my word to be a fire. I want the spirit of man to be a candle of the Lord. But you know what? If it's not, then I'll let it be a hammer. I'll let it be a hammer. Now listen to me, folks. God wants you to bring a candle so that you can experience the heat and the burning and the glow and the power of God upon His life, upon your life. It's supposed to come through the preaching of God's Word, meaning the candle of the Lord, the spirit of a born-again believer. But if you show up with a rock, I'm still preaching the Word. You know why? Because if it's not a fire and you won't let it be a fire, then God will let it be a hammer and it'll start smashing your rock. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I know what I'm talking about. I've had times in my Christian life when I walked into the church, and you know what? I brought a candle, and every service was great, and every time God spoke to me, and you know what? And I've had stretches in my Christian life where I sat out there, and all it seemed like was happening was that preacher, you ever heard somebody say this? Boy, he hammered us again tonight. It wasn't the preacher. That was the Word of God. Hammering on your old cold heart. Trying to break in pieces the rock that you've let build up. Jeremiah said, yeah, Lord, you said not to be afraid of their faces, but good night! They're hard as a rock! You can preach anyway. See what the Word of God will do to the rock. Let me tell you something. You go ahead and bring your old hard-hearted rock on in here. But you just bring it on in here and keep setting down. I guarantee you, I got something more powerful than your rock. This is what will happen. You'll either stay in underneath the preaching, eventually it'll break your rock into a bunch of little pieces, or you'll cut and run because you can't handle it. Because you like your rock. You want to find a preacher that'll pet your rock. Congratulate you for having a rock. Tell you that all good Christians have rocks. That the preachers that believe the people that are supposed to get excited about preaching actually have their lives changed and shine for Jesus and use an altar and weep tears and confess sin are a bunch of weirdo fanatics. Amen. Amen. Come on now, here's the question. When's the last time you got lit on fire? When's the last time you sat in this church during a Bible message and you were absolutely lit on fire? Where you couldn't even hardly drive home. You couldn't even keep it out of the ditches. God was doing so much in your life, you couldn't wait to do what God had told you to do. You didn't even know what to do with it. It was like wildfire, crazy things going on. But you knew it was God.
You got a bunch of professional Christians. There's too many little professional Christians here at Blessed Oak Pastor. Too many young people know what to wear and how short to cut their hair and how long their skirts are supposed to be, and sit there and bring your stinking rock in here every single week.
Won't let God do anything in your life. You know what? You're part of the problem of this generation. You're part of the reason that judgment's coming. Bring it on in here. I'll keep hammering it. But wouldn't it be a lot better if you just brought a candle? Hey, listen to me. Do you remember the day when you used to bring a candle? You remember the times when it was real? Before you started hanging around a bunch of rock Christians that talked you out of your candle?
I was preaching, not this message, but I was preaching a message. I could take you to the church. I won't tell you where it was. But I was preaching the Bible. And I was preaching. You know, if I'm going to go somewhere and preach, Brother Bryce, I'm going to preach. There's enough tiptoeing through the tulips. There's enough Tiny Tim preachers out there, amen. Tiny Tim. And only us old guys even know what I'm talking about, Brother. Tiny Tim. Isn't he the one in the Christmas story? Yeah, that's the guy I'm talking about. You know. God bless you, everyone. God bless us, everyone. No, there's another Tiny Tim. But anyway, I don't know where that came from. If I'm going to preach, I'm going to preach. I don't mean being caustic. I don't mean being mean. I don't mean being belligerent. I don't mean being nasty. I think there's some of that in the pulpit that needs to go away too. I'm not talking about showing up just calling people names and just trying to... I'm talking about preaching the Bible. Let the Bible do its work. I was in this church and I was preaching away, and about where Brother Dively was sitting on this side on the aisle, there was a guy there. Man, he's got his Bible. He's looking at me and looking at the Bible, looking at me. He's sitting up and he's starting to get nervous. He flips to another place and he's looking. Man, he's shaking his head, and man alive, he's getting lit up. He's just getting lit. Man, he couldn't hardly sit still. And man, he'd get to amening and look at that, and I'd see him. He's wiping a tear away and looking. And man, I mean, this is a thirsty man. It just came and found some water. He brought a candle and God was lighting him up. Invitation came, he busted out of his house, came up here, did business with God, caught me after the service, grabbed my hand, pumped it hard. Preacher, thank you so much for that message. I needed it. God knew I needed that tonight. Now listen, folks, I know maybe not every sermon in the world is going to be that, but every sermon in the world ought to light something in you. Everyone. I can't remember, like I said, last time I went to a preaching service where God didn't either remind me of something I needed to be reminded of or reveal something to me for the first time that I needed to hear, and I left there different than when I walked in. You know why? Because I bring a candle. To every service I bring a candle. You know why? Because for about a year and a half when I was growing up as a teenager, I traded my candle for a rock, and I wasted a year and a half sitting in church, ignoring the Bible, sitting back there with a hard look on my face, getting hammered, not liking it, not letting God do anything with my life, wasting a year and a half of sermons, a year and a half of Sunday school lessons, a year and a half of youth training hours. You know why? Because I decided I was going to be a hard-hearted Christian. I'll never get that year and a half back. But when God finally broke the rock in pieces, and I took the gravel that was left in my life and brought him to an altar and said, God, I want to get rid of this. This is just a mess that I've made. And God, I want a candle. I remember when you used to speak to me. I remember when church used to be real. I remember when you used to have your hand upon me. I remember when I used to love the things of God. I want that back. You know what? I got my candle back, and I'm not going to let the devil steal it from me. Now you go ahead. You laugh anything you want to laugh at. I'm going to amen and enjoy preaching. I'm going to like church. The church I was preaching on, right there. This man, right across the aisle. Same church, same sermon, same night. Man and his wife sit right across the aisle from this guy that's getting his candle lit. And the whole time I'm preaching, they start with this kind of startled look. Then they start the exchanging of the glances. And then I like this, the synchronized arm crossing. Both of them doing it synchronized. My husband and wife, same time. Then they start with the faces. Oh yeah, there's not a preacher in here that doesn't know what I'm talking about, the faces. There's a reason God told Jeremiah, don't be afraid of their faces. I've seen some of the awfulest faces while I was preaching in all my life. I've seen people look at me with the hard stare. I've seen them give me the old intimidation look. You're not going to believe this. God's my witness. I was preaching one time, not this night, but another time, where I was in the middle of a message preaching, and a guy three quarters of the way back on this side stuck his tongue out at me during the preaching. I mean, I'm just preaching away and preaching, all of a sudden I look at him and he goes, I didn't know what to do. I went, that's it.
And I was a young preacher, and I shouldn't have did it, and I've learned better, but I said to myself, if he does that again, I'm sticking my tongue back out in here. And I got to preaching and preaching away, and I looked up, sure enough, he gave me the tongue back in here. I just took off preaching again, man. Pastor on the front row of the church I was in looked at me like, man, you ought to have seen that guy. He about swallowed his tongue when I did that. All the people, oh. I've seen every face you can see. I've seen every intimidation thing people's been able to try. I've seen this number. Every time I see somebody do that, I say, 10 more minutes, buddy. Here we go. I was done before you did that. Now I'm going on, brother. 66 books in this Bible, and I can preach all of them if you want me to. Honestly, you know what we need? We need some men in the pulpit. I'm not talking about meanness. I'm not talking about being unchristian. I'm not talking about sticking your tongue out to people. I will say in that message, for those few seconds, I was definitely in the flesh and not in the spirit. I will tell you that. I'm talking about preaching. Same sermon. Same message. You can't say, well, it was the preacher. Sorry, same preacher that night. Well, it was the sermon. He didn't tell enough funny stories. He didn't use enough illustrations. No. Listen, you know what the difference was? There was a young man that brought a candle and a couple that came in there with a couple rocks. And you know what? He got lit and they got hammered. And you know what? That's what's supposed to happen. What's the chaff to the wind, to the wheat? I'll preach my heart out. If it makes 100 people mad and sets one young man on fire, I'll take that one young man that's on fire any day and let the chaff blow away. Thank God for the one that got it. And we're not changing the way we preach here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We're not trimming the standards. We're not backing down on separation. We're not going to quit preaching on holiness. We're not going to quit mentioning soul winning. We're not going to quit any of this stuff. We're going to preach it, and people that come with candles are going to get lit, and the ones that don't are going to get hammered. Now I got some things I want to give you when we close. You know, church is a lot more fun if you bring a candle than if you bring a rock. I'm testifying. I know, I've done both. Now, most good Baptists, what I find is most good Baptists have both. And they keep them in their pockets until the texts are read. What's he going to preach on tonight? Oh, yeah, I like that. And they bring their candle out. Amen! Next service. Oh, he's on that. Why don't you just get rid of that rock and bring a candle to every service? Why don't you let God's Word do what it's trying to do every day in your life, every time the doors are open, every time the sermon's preached? Say, Brother Jerry, I'm having trouble believing you. You're telling me, and I'm talking about years, folks. I'm talking about over a decade. I'm talking about years. I don't remember the last time that I sat underneath preaching where God didn't do something astounding in my life. But I've learned to bring a candle. Well, because of that, I think I can give you some advice. Let me give it to you in closing, practical things. By the way, 1 Thessalonians 5:20, despise not prophesying. That's our whole problem. We're undervaluing preaching. What's going on right now is 1,000 times more important than anything going on outside the walls of this. Not because Jerry Ross is preaching, but because the Word of God is being preached. That's not a statement of pride. That's a statement of fact. If the Bible's being preached, you know what? It's important. That's why your preacher a few minutes ago during announcement time said, folks, let's stop walking in and out during preaching. Let's get God's people in here during preaching. I don't want a bunch of guys after offerings over there hanging out, perhaps a sermon in the back, goofing around. Get in here and listen to preaching. Why, our children ought to be in here. Our teens ought to be in here. Now, let me give you some things. Number one, participate in the preliminaries. I'm going to tell you how to get the most out of a sermon. Participate in the preliminaries. What's that mean? That means come early. That means fellowship with God's people. That means shake hands. That means sing when we have the song service. Sing. Parents, why are you letting your kids sit there and never open a song book, never sing? What in the world's wrong with you?
I don't blame them. I blame you for letting them get by with it. I'm talking about kids that are old enough and able to do it. Shame on you. That shouldn't be a choice. We sing. I'm talking about praying when we have prayer time. Did you hear what I prayed a little while ago when I gave the prayer request? You know why I did that? Because, folks, we're just human beings. I mean this. I'm not mad at anybody. But I know how the devil works. You do anything on a regular basis, pretty soon it'll just become a formality. It'll become vanity if we don't on purpose decide to participate. When we're going through these prayer requests, well, by the way, one of these days it's going to be your prayer request. One of these days it's going to be your family member. One of these days it's going to be your crisis. And you're going to want everybody in this room begging God to do something. But, well, why don't you do that for other people? When we have prayer time, it's not to listen to me pray. It's for you to pray too. I'm talking about every teenager, every child. As these names are lifted or read out, there ought to be a harmony of God's people. A chorus of prayers going up in intercession for these prayers. Participate in the preliminaries. Come early. Greet people. Smile. Shake hands. Sing. Pray. When the offering plate comes by, give. When we have communion, participate. Bring your Bible. I'm a little tired of having the Sunday school hour and saying, all right, if you have your Bible, hold it up. Have about a third of the people at church hold their Bible up. Hello? We're not bringing our Bible to church? We're not bringing our Bible to church? We're not bringing our Bible to church? Is this a Lutheran church? Is this a Catholic church? I thought it was an independent fundamental Baptist church where people love the Word of God. Right, let me help you this. Bring a King James Bible. Because if you're not, you're not bringing one anyway. Participate in the preliminaries. Number two, prepare yourself for the preaching. Now, prepare yourself. Well, how do I prepare myself? Prepare yourself physically, mentally, and spiritually. I'm telling you what I do. This is not what I talk about. It's what I do. Physically, I prepare myself. I've got to understand that my flesh profiteth nothing. Flesh is always going to fight against the Spirit. Flesh warreth against the Spirit. Flesh don't like preaching. So you know what? I don't give my flesh an advantage. I get my old carcass up near the front. I want the flesh up there where it doesn't have a lot of distractions between me and the preacher. Now, thank God we're in a church where it's pretty full most of the time. I'm not fussing at you if you're not on the front row. I am kind of fussing at you if there's an empty seat in front of you somewhere. Parents, I know you moved back so that you could train your kids for a while. Why are you still back there? These little ones, I can't even see half of them. You got them so far back. Now, if you're back there to train your kids, they have to be taken out and the Word of God shared with them from time to time. I understand that. I've no problem with that. I understand that. I understand all the process. We went through it too. I'm just saying, we go back for a while and we just get comfortable and we never come back up. Getting up near the front. By the way, that just shouldn't be ignored. That ought to be done. Amen. Prepare yourself physically. And if there's a night you're not going to stay up late, it should be Saturday night. Get some rest. All during the week. Well, we got to get the kids in bed early. School tomorrow. Got to get the kids in bed early. School tomorrow. Got to get the kids in bed early. School tomorrow. Saturday night. Let them stay up. Play video games at 2 in the morning. Come in here. They can't even function. They can't even concentrate. They're sleeping during the service. You know, prepare yourself physically. I'm not talking about you guys that are out there working and you drag in here and you're worn out and you know what, you struggle sometimes. I've been there. I know what that's all about. I'm not talking to you mamas that walk the floor half the night with one of the babies and you come in here Sunday morning and struggle. You know what? I haven't been there, but I've heard stories. But I'm saying, as a general rule, let's just prepare ourselves physically. Prepare yourself mentally. You got to decide to focus in on what's being done. Prepare yourself spiritually. Say, how do you prepare yourself spiritually? Pray at the beginning of the message. Now, I don't know why us Baptist preachers all do it, but we do. Open your Bible, let's all stand. We read the Scripture, I bow our head, let's pray. That moment right there, after the Scripture is read and I lead you in prayer, may be the most vitally important prayer moment of the night, of the day. Because you have an opportunity right there to say some things to God that you need to say. And this is what I exercise, this is what I do every time. I open my Bible and the preacher reads the Bible, I read it with him.
And when he begins to pray, I say something along these lines every time, and it's not vain repetition. I mean it. God, I don't believe in accidents. I don't believe in coincidences. You've got me here for a reason. There's a message you've given that man. There's something in that message I desperately need. And God, I pray. And I ask you, Lord, to tell me what you want to tell me. Holy Spirit, speak to me. You convict me. You remind me. You reveal something to me. Now watch this. This is vitally important. And always in the prayer this way. God, during the preaching of your word, whatever it is that your Spirit tells me to do, I'll do it. Whatever it is your Spirit tells me to do, I'll do it. Well, shouldn't you check out what the message is? No. No. Because I want to be on fire. Because I want to be lit up. I don't come in and say, well, let's see what he's preaching on and see what I want to get on board. I say, Holy Spirit, I'm here for a reason. And I want to listen to it. If it's in this book, I want to do it. That's why at the end of a message, God says, hit an altar, I hit an altar. If God says, go talk to somebody, I talk to somebody. If God says, go confess a sin, I confess a sin. If God says, go give something, I give something. Whatever God speaks to my heart about, I'm going to do it. You know what? If you'll do it the first time, and you'll come, and God sees you're serious about it, you'll do it a second time, your candle's going to get lit brighter and brighter and brighter, and you're going to be more and more on fire, and God's going to reveal more and more things, and the preaching service will be transformed in your life. It'll be different than it's ever been before. We sit down there, and we've already decided before it starts it. We're not going to change. We're not going to make a decision. We're not hitting an altar. We're not going to do anything different we've ever done. We'll just put in our 45 minutes. Tonight it'll be about an hour and 15 minutes. Put in our 45 minutes and get out of here and just go back to being the same way we always were. And James wrote, you deceive yourself. You're hearers of the word only. You're not doers. You deceive yourself. You think you're a good Christian because you show up to church and listen, but you won't change anything. You won't do anything. You got a rock. You deceive yourself into thinking you're something you're not. Just because you come to church and you're here. God wants to do something in our lives. Pray at the beginning of the message. Focus fully and completely on the preaching. Folks, that's why we train our children to look at the preacher when he's preaching. That's why you train yourself to look at the preacher while he's preaching. I know you're reading the Bible sometime, looking at the Bible. I know you may take an occasional note. I'm all for that. For the most part, you know what? It's just called good manners. If somebody's talking to you, you ought to be looking at them. You know what that does? That focuses you physically. It focuses you mentally. You got the Bible, might have a 3x5 card. You know why? Because you're expecting to have to write something down. You know why? Because you ask God to tell you something. You don't come looking, seek and ye shall find. You don't come looking for anything, you're not going to find anything. You don't come open, you're not going to, listen, you don't come with a candle, you're not going to get lit. Focus fully and completely on the preaching. Listen to the voice of God. See, I believe this all my heart. I've learned to trust it. I trust the fact that if I obey God and I preach what He wants me to, that the Holy Spirit of God is always faithful. He will communicate with you if you will listen to Him. So while I'm here preaching, and you know what? Have you ever been in with this type of service where the preacher is preaching on a subject and he never mentions anything close to what the Holy Spirit reveals to you during the message, but it happened during the preaching. You know why? Because unto us it is saved, it's the power of God. But there's times when the preacher doesn't preach on anything, but all in the middle of this message, God's Holy Spirit says, reveal something to me, or tells it, and I think, where'd that come from? He didn't even mention that, but God's Holy Spirit mentioned it to me, and I already made Him a promise, didn't I? Amen? Listen for the voice of God. Respond, respond, respond to what God has revealed to you. Respond. It's the right thing. It's the right thing to respond. I'll take you through the book of Acts if we had time. You won't find one sermon of the book of Acts that wasn't designed to create a response in people. That's why when Peter got done preaching in Acts chapter 2, people said, what shall we do? What shall we do? You know, God's word, if it's preached correctly, is supposed to bring you to a crossroad, a place where you have to make a decision, where you need to make a decision. It's designed that way. This message tonight, at the invitation, why do we have invitation? Because this message is designed to challenge you to change your attitude, change your heart concerning the preaching of God's Word. It's going to bring you to that point where you're going to decide something. That's how I preach. You know why? Because that's the way the Bible's written. This book always makes me decide something.
So respond to what God has revealed to you. Whatever God tells you to do, do it. And I'll tell you this. All of a sudden at work, you're going to be different. All of a sudden at home, you're going to be different. All of a sudden people are going to say, what's going on? And your countenance is going to change. And your demeanor is going to change. Your heart's going to change. Pretty soon, you're going to be so on fire for God that some of us aren't going to know what to do with you. But I'll know what to do. I'll say, praise God. Leave them alone and let them burn. I found out there's usually enough wet blankets in the church to balance it out. Just leave the boy alone and let him burn. Leave the young lady alone. Let her burn! Leave that young couple alone. Let them burn! As soon as they walk out that door, the devil's going to try to hit them with a fire extinguisher anyway. Let them burn. You know what? They'll go out there and they'll get beat up for a few days and the devil will pour a bunch of cold water on them. They'll come staggering back in. They'll sit down if they're smart and they'll say, preacher, I need another dose of fire. I'll say, amen, me too. Let's get to preaching. Let's get to preaching. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd do something in our lives. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd allow the services that are left in the rest of 2008 not to just be process of coming in and punching out, and leaving the same. There may be a person in this room that says, preacher, I know where you're at. Heads about, eyes are closed. I know where you're at. I know what you were talking about when you were talking about going through a time in your life where the preaching was nothing but a hammering process, and God's been breaking my rock in some pieces lately. Aren't you just tired of that? Aren't you tired of that? Why don't you do what I do? Why don't you take a heart full and a handful of gravel and come to an altar and lay it on an altar and say, God, I'm done with this stuff. I want the fire of God to burn in my heart. I want to know what it's like to be touched by the fire of the Holy Spirit of God. Acts chapter 2, those Christians got together and you know what? They prayed till fire fell. When fire fell, thousands got saved. It's not the lost world that needs a change. It's the church that needs a change. God wants to do something in your life. Are you here tonight and you've never been saved? You've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior? You know what the Holy Spirit's telling you right now? I can tell you what He's telling you. He's telling you, man, you ought to go forward and get saved.